Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your host, David Von Strong, the man so woke. I got nothing. Now here's David.
Hello, Charlottesville. It is Sunday. It is 10 o'clock. It is June the 3rd, 2018, and the world is still on fire. It is Homegrown, your show about local art here in the new, the burgeoning Charlottesville on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I, as Clinton was saying, am David Von Strong.
A man so woke he doesn't even own pajamas.
That's true, actually. I got comfy pants, but I don't think they're pajamas. I take those off. It's neither here nor there.
You don't just let it go. You
just David Von Strong, aka the Devious One, aka Nefarious Rucker, aka Negro Suave, aka Black Frodo. Leslie is on a commitment. I wish her well. She always hard at work. She was hard for the money. So hard for it, honey. We can go on forever. We really could with like 80s. Woman-driven books of bombacity. It's raining, man. Hallelujah. Oh, sorry. We're just gonna continue.
Point of contention: I don't think that Raining Men was
79.
Really, was really written for women. That's what I'm saying.
You have a point there. I think it was written for everybody, Clinton. I mean, who wouldn't want to have a lovely man just drop from the to the face of the earth? There's so much blood. Oh, my God. He was so beautiful. Anyway, we got a jam-packed show. I'm just going to get into it. I don't have a lot of banter. All I got to say is Kim Kardashian was at the White House, and I'm just going to leave it at that. Like, yo, she was actually going for a good reason. She was going to vouch for police reform and to ask for the pardoning of a black woman, age 62, nonviolent drug offense, lot of loopholes in the case, blah blah blah, so on and so forth. Trump did not pardon her. However, he did pardon that conservative pundit, Dinesh Hudiha.
He did, because conservative pundits and conspiracy theorists need love too.
Yeah,
apparently.
Yeah, and people who throw racist tweets about Obama always deserve love. Gotta secure the base. Gotta just let people know.
However, he was a conservative pundit of color, so, you know, step forward there.
One step forward, 18 steps back.
And the 80s references keep going.
That's the Trump administration. I mean, that's really what it is. It's like for everybody, like Gina Haskell, like first female director of the CIA under the most militaristic administration of all time. One step forward, 18 steps back. And that's pretty much the state of America that we're in. But hey, it's been a good run. When the revolution comes, I will miss you.
It's been a good run. There's a little, some bumps with that whole slavery thing and not letting women vote. And but on the whole.
Quentin, you should know, slavery was a choice. We should have gotten off our ass and, like, just handled stuff by now.
Kanye speaks to me.
Did you listen to that 7-track piece? No, I'm not going to go on. It's really awful. I miss the old Kanye. I really do. But
you know what I miss? Talking to our guests.
Beautiful segue. Two people who are also musicians in their own right. I just watched Rachel Austin's video, and it has amazing quality, actually. And now I'm kind of like awestruck, and I kind of feel like, I feel like I should get you something. Maybe. I don't know. But I was impressed. Like, go
I like
see
that response to my music.
RachelAustinVoice.com. Go see the video. It's awesome. Don't go. But yes, Paige Taylor, Rachel Austin. They are putting on the new Soundhouse production. Well, it's a production called Soundhouse. It's going down at the Bridge, yeah. Progressive Arts Institute, June 6th. So let's get into the nitty-gritty, Paige. You decided to put together Soundhouse.
Yes. So I'm actually a Bridge Fellow at the Bridge, and I was contacted by Anastasia.
So what's a Bridge Fellow?
So basically I get to help run events at the Bridge, and specifically I do what's called the Deep Listening Series. It's like a meditation series through sound and like collaborative performance. And so I got my certificate in deep listening and I run that series. And I was contacted by a woman named Anastasia Clark, who's performing at the Bridge at Soundhouse, and saw her work, and she was looking for a place to play and to perform and touring as well. And I was like, yeah, let me help you, and let's put something together at the Bridge. And I decided to call it Soundhouse because I think it incorporates like all of the performers are have different practices in sound art, but all really have a similarity, I think, in their work that has to mm-hmm. do with art and sound, yeah. and
a streaming parallel.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, cool.
Yeah.
So how long was that process from you and Anastasia kind of like chopping it up like at a coffee shop or whatever to like now June 6th? How long was that process? And was it like, all right, let's do this, and then you found Rachel, and then you found Crystal, and then you were like, oh, let's put it all together? Or was it just like, we have to get these people to do this as well? What did the collaborative art look?
Sure, yeah, kind of like stringing things together from different directions. Actually, Diane Cluck, I don't know if anyone knows who Diane Cluck is. She's awesome. But yeah,
we've had Diane on the show.
Yeah, she's amazing. Hey, Diane Cluck. But she put me in touch with Anastasia. Anastasia is she recently graduated from Mills College and got her MFA. And
this is her stuff.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get a little bit closer to the screen.
Anastasia.
I caught was the self-work piece, which is which I say how it has more dramatic composition as well to do with that. So there's not only music, but there's also this element of drama and
definitely.
And this compelling, like, I don't want to call it interpretive dance because that kind of trivializes it. But there is definitely a choreography that takes place that defines the music as well.
For sure. I think there's a big element of theater in her work as well as... I think there's actually handmade electronics that she's using as well in her work. And I think she actually might be doing a version of that particular work, self-work. I know she at least mentioned that, that she might be doing a solo performance of that particular work. So she might be doing that. She might not, yeah. But I think she mentioned at least.
It looks like her most recent,
possibility.
So I figured,
yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's like a musician. You start out with the new mm-hmm. tracks, and then you go into the deep cuts,
right.
You know, for the crowd.
Yeah. So let's take a step back and mm-hmm. hit more generally. So what is Soundhouse, and who are the... Because we've been throwing out names, but I think we should take a moment and list who the artists are who are part of it.
Yes. Okay. So Anastasia Clark, as we've said, and Crystal Pinaloza as mm-hmm. well. Rachel Austin, who we have here. And
where's Rachel? Oh, my God. There she is right there.
There she is.
Oh, my God. So happy we got her.
And myself in a small way. I'll just
be modest.
Well, at least I'll be doing an introductory, a deep listening piece with the audience before the whole show starts.
It's good to know, so I won't start screaming as soon as I get on.
Yes, exactly.
You do not scream.
Now, out of your meditation.
And now bring on the death metal.
That would be cool.
That would be awesome.
Right.
Juxtaposition.
But yeah, actually, me and Rachel, we met at a deep listening workshop that I ran. She had moved back here and then had heard about the deep listening series and had... interest and came by, and so we met that way and have been talking a little bit ever since. And and I thought that she would be perfect for Soundhouse.
Cool.
Just made sense. Mm-hmm. So knowing her work and you know, having got that connection.
Yeah.
It was a lucky find for me because I just moved back to Virginia after living away for about 17 years and was looking for some. I was thirsty, thirsty for fellowship. So
I hear that.
So Paige
moving back.
Paige gave me water.
Nice.
Yeah.
The water of friendship. Where were you moving from?
I last lived for a few years in Oakland, California.
Oakton.
And before that, I was in Belfast, Northern Ireland.
Okay.
So yeah, abroad and. Abroad, as my father warned me before I moved to California, that it's a different country, as he said.
So, and that's what everybody from the East that I know that I know of moves to LA. And it's like, it's so strange.
They don't speak the same language as us.
Yes, but what is Soundhouse? What kind of music are we talking about
here? So, I would say that it's experimental music in the broadest sense, but more like sound, I would say sound art, including improvisation, including voice, including modular synthesis like Crystal does, which you can see on her website.
Yeah, I actually wanted to, I'm sorry to interrupt. I wanted to touch on like Crystal's stuff right here. She's from Richmond, and it's a lot of experimental sound. And I just want to say, it's so the fan. Like whenever I partied in Richmond, it was like that. That was the thing, like experimental music to see at like somebody's party. So I just thought it was very, you know, very Richmond. And I enjoyed it. And you know, if you dig Sound and Keith, if you dig some of the stuff that they were doing in the early 90s with, you know, guitar pedals and stuff like that, I think you'll enjoy like Crystal's work. I think it's really experimental. I think it's really interesting and compelling. And she does like this great like light work with it too. That's super dope as well. So I'm, you know, psyched to see what she comes up with.
Yeah, and I think she also works with themes of like gender and equality and, and things of that nature, which is really interesting, I think, within her work, which I've been looking at her work as well, but I'm excited to see it in person to really get the full experience.
Now I wanted to ask about that, because, well, we have like three or four more minutes, and I want to get like to more of your stuff, Rachel, because well, we have you, so I gotta ask you as many questions as possible while we got you before you like blow up. So we got you on tape, but I definitely wanted to ask about the show Soundhouse and the artists that the artists that represent it. I noticed in the email thread you said, and I quote, "femme sound artists of like mind." Now, is gender and sexual identity a theme that is purposefully planted into Soundhouse to be represented, or is it just kind of like a happenstance? Either way, I think it's important for, you know, all sexual identity to be represented. But is that intentional?
You know, I would say more happenstance. Happily, I'm happy that it happened. And
Happily happenstance.
it just kind of came together, and then it just happened that it seemed like the right people were more of a femme nature. And so I just thought, after taking and collecting the people to do it, I was like, wow, actually, this is like a femme. This is like a femme sound art show, and that's awesome. And it doesn't have to be, but it's great that it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of dope.
Yeah.
That it just happened to be that way.
Yeah.
But you just want to put a dope show together with dope people, and that's really what it's about.
Definitely.
Hashtag equality. It's like, no, we're not trying to make this a big thing. We're just awesome, just no matter what.
It's just how it happened, yeah.
Hashtag dope quality.
That's right. We got to do a drop. Oh, I got 3 minutes.
What?
All right, so I'm just gonna keep talking. I'm just gonna move on to Rachel since we're just going down the list anyway. So Rachel, you got wrapped up in this whole Soundhouse whirlwind of flame and fury. Like, how you liking it?
I'm really looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. I think I've played in Charlottesville recently.
I was gonna say, how long has it been since you've performed?
In Charlottesville, it's been a few years. Actually, and the last time I played a show was April, actually. Yeah, for Shenandoah Fringe Festival.
Okay.
Yeah, I did a piece about Silvio Berlusconi.
My favorite Berlusconi.
Former Italian prime minister / delusional ruler. So
to read about, not seems, as a person.
It seems topical, yeah.
Yeah.
It was right like a point. It was sort of like a razzmatazz musical about his life. You know, he ended up being sorry. I don't want to get off onto this tangent, but
no, no, do it away.
Do it.
Go there.
I was
embrace that tangent of this one.
Yeah. You had me at Silvio Berlusconi.
So I was researching to kind of like update the musical. It's a 15-minute musical, kind of like totally like using Italian 60s folk style music, but I was trying to update it. I was like, what's happening to him now? So I found out that he was convicted of judges convicted him of there was his economic and financial dodgy dealings, misdoings, basically,
like, yeah, racketeering, essentially,
yeah, and his involvement in the mafia. But of course they can't bring the mafia into anything.
Of course not.
In Italy. But
of course not.
But he was sentenced to community service. And he ended up working in an elderly home, like in a senior center, for a few years.
This is a bull crap. I have to wash the tushy of the old person. All the time.
Bad Italian stereotypes. Yeah. All right. Continue.
Which he just finished in the last year or two, I think, and now he's allowed to be back to work back in. He can never be prime minister again, but he can be in his time of 5 years of having no government involvement have finished, and he's stopped working in the senior center. So
Oh my gosh.
It's basically if you imagine this happened to Trump.
you can't build another building or do any money laundering for 5 years.
Yeah. And after that,
yeah,
you gotta scrub old
people.
You
can't put your name on anything for 6 months. Five tops.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, so he's back. Anyway, so that's the last.
Ready to rock.
That's the last show I did. Yeah.
If only they had gotten him on a non-violent drug offense, then, oh boy.
Exactly.
He would be serving life.
I mean, they say 80 is the new 40, so I say live it up, Sylvia. Oh, is it drop time? I'm pretty sure it's drop time. All right, we're going to pay some bills. We'll be right back with Rachel Austin, Paige Naylor, talking about Soundhouse. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Hi, this is Chloe Esther, and you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7.
19 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Clinton. Paige Naylor, Rachel Austin, talking about Soundhouse, that new sound experimental fusion of art, of everything that is going down at the Bridge Progressive Arts Institute, June 6th. Yeah, jump in.
So I've noticed that with I think all of the artists who are involved in Soundhouse, it's that there's the sound component, there's the experiment music, but it doesn't just stop there. There, like you said, there's a theatricality. There are also some light works. Is that so? Can you talk about the mixed media aspect of it, and whether we'll talk about it in general, but first, was it intentional to look for people who were more than did more than just they were providing more than just a sonic experience?
Sure. I think it started with Anastasia's work and looking at that, and then trying to form or bring together other artists of similar or sort of similar or complementary practices. Mm-hmm. So I think it started with her, who has, it seems like, a vast array of things that she does, especially in that one piece, the self-work piece, which like I said, involves theater, which involves sound art, dance, and handmade electronics as well within the performance. So I think starting there, kind of starting broadly, and then Crystal actually they're touring together. So they came, they're, I guess, essentially come as a package, but a great amazing package of also like analog electronics, and I think probably touching on similar themes of gender equality. And I think I don't want to speak necessarily for Anastasia, but I think themes that may be similar or of perhaps femininity or of being a woman or like or living as a woman and or working and you know, themes of similar nature, and then finding Rachel as well, who does a lot of improvisation and voice work. Mm-hmm. And specifically, of course, we can ask her because I'm not sure her piece or what she's doing for the show in particular, but I think it fits in with what Anastasia and Crystal and what I'm doing. But yeah, it started broadly. It started as a broad scope of artistic practices, and then going from there and trying to collect artists who could complement their work and locals as well. So trying to find Rachel and then myself to try to represent local artists, but also artists from out of town. So,
yeah, Rachel, mm-hmm. can you talk about infusing mm-hmm. improvisational elements and voice work with the sound work that you do?
Yeah. So it's interesting because, like, an improv, you know, improv has been pretty. There's a history of improv is like there's like jazz improv, of course, you know. Baroque improv. Certainly in like free improv, there's like voices. There's like, I've felt kind of limited to some extent as to like bringing narrative or song into free improvisation. But I'm a songwriter, so like, what do I do? You know, like, so for me, part of what like I do in my like live improvisations is not only like sound, like, design and work and stuff, like using my computer and like effects and stuff, but also like, yeah, going with what's coming as far as like narrative and song, which can be scary because I find that like because I do extended vocals, so lots of strange sounds, and I like to build layers of those things, especially when I'm like duoing or performing like in a group. But like when you're kind of stepping out and the words are coming, you're like, "Gah." But interestingly, I grew up in a charismatic church, and now I don't go to church anymore, and I don't really claim any of that to be part of my practice and my life. But it's super interesting how, you know, the moment when you're waiting on the Holy Spirit to move is very much so like the moment when you're starting to improvise. Mm. And you're waiting for these words to come to you, and the words come, and then you have to step out and you do it. And somebody may disagree in the congregation, but
it's interesting how many steps we take away to find that we've stepped back to where we started from.
Exactly.
In,
yeah,
in a strange from another viewpoint.
Yeah, and you're calling it something else now. Mm-hmm. You're like, no. This isn't the Holy Spirit. This is. You know. But so for me, like, that feels very like native to who I am in a sense. Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah, so I'm currently like working on writing a new project because I haven't released anything in about 5 years, so I'm releasing a project that's like multi-dimensional, working with a print artist, a photographer, a filmmaker, and also writing music for it. And it's going to be kind of like improv meets song, so some parts of it will be written, some parts of it will come out of like an much more like improvised.
Stop stealing my ideas.
It's funny because I just Continue. Had this idea just sitting across from you.
Yeah, but you got the budget for it. You got the idea. You got the ability to implement that idea. I'm just at home like, wouldn't it be cool if I did this? And I'm like on Google Drive, like on my 2003 laptop.
Yeah,
I'm
like, yeah.
Well, the thing I'm gonna is make like, it happen.
When it kind of just this project, actually, I kind of wasn't really planning on releasing anything except that this thing has been falling into my lap and. It just feels like I have to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
I
don't know what it is, really. But as the project develops, I am beginning to see what it is. I'm working with a photographer, an Iranian-American photographer, and an Egyptian-American print artist. Like, and then, like, it's just going to be this super interesting dialogue of, like, like who we are, basically, mm-hmm. and where how we got to where we are, and what that means in the context of I'm trying not to use jargon like identity right. and stuff like that, but like who we are, how we speak, how you move, like what does that mean, and is there power in that, like, and then power in being positive about it, not bitter or angry, you know, but being like productive and constructive. So
in this place in the process where you know that you're going to do something, you are working on something, you know that you have to do something, but you don't know what it is, and you don't know the direction it's gonna, you don't know, you don't know the end point, you might know some directions. Do you find that space exciting? Do you find it anxious, anxiety producing? I mean, what is that space like for you? Because I think it's a uniquely artistic space. I think people who aren't, maybe not uniquely, but people who aren't artists don't frequently find themselves, who aren't working creatively, don't find themselves often in that space where it's like you just set out into the ocean and you're
terrifying.
You think there's something on the other side, but you know.
This terrifying precipice of, I think one of the interesting things that, like, I've been thinking about, because I moved back to Virginia and sort of took a year off. And I'm kind of coming back now.
Been
and
there, too.
Well, that's why we have the same ideas.
It must be.
One of the things that I was been reading about creativity, and one of the things is that inspiration will come to you and come to you and come to you. You just have to say yes.
Mm.
And that in saying yes, that's when you start to step out of the, you know. And so I'm terrified, but I'm going to do it with the assurance that it will happen. And part of my kind of plan of that process is playing shows that I'm improvising in and coming up with material during those performances after I've like kind of like immersed myself in the subject matter. Then
Performance as process. That's that's wild. Yeah.
It's similar to like a comedian, like just going and just open micing it, just like for however many times.
That's interesting, yeah.
Just like building material and, you know, just creating a screenplay out of that.
So there's a context for it.
Context.
Thank you for saying that.
There you go.
So I'm going to be recording this week. I think today and tomorrow I'm going to be spending some time reading and writing a lot.
You're just working out material.
Yeah, and then on Wednesday I'm going to be recording at least definitely my performance, and just seeing what comes out of it. Might be rubbish. Might be nothing comes out of it, but that's part of the process, right?
All right. I did want to ask one more question. Did you choose like an Iranian American and Egyptian American and like people of like different cultures? Like, did you choose that intentionally just for a non-American aspect, or just because they were there? And
one of them is like turning into one of my best friends, and we've just been doing an exchange, same lessons for photography and like web design stuff.
Just how it should be,
right? And so
barter system, baby.
But we have these conversations that, you know, we're going to talk for an hour, but it ends up being 3 hours, and
how it should be.
So we're just kind of like, this has to. We're just really like electrically like vibing off of each other, and the same thing happened with Amira when I met Amira. She's a Lexington-based print artist. It's just too many things just happening all at once. It wasn't an intentional thing for me. It's just, where the connection lies.
Paige, if there's anyone sort of on the fence about whether they should see or hear or see and hear or experience Soundhouse, what would you say to them?
I would say that, you know, pick up your courage and come, because I think it'll be quite an amazing experience. I mean, I think there's a lot of elements combined that maybe people, especially if they don't come to the Bridge that often, don't see or don't experience often. And, you know, and also from my end, including like collaborative performance with the audience and trying to get them, or breaking like the performer audience barrier. So when they come, and not to scare them away at all, but to welcome them they'll get to perform in a sense actually at the show in a very accessible and comfortable and freeing way. I would say too.
It's a great venue. I love performing at the Bridge. I did improv at the Bridge a lot too.
Oh, cool.
Is there a cover?
No cover.
Well, that's all we need to know.
Exactly. It's free.
Free show, baby. Free Sonic experience. That's what Brooke people wanted me. Like, everybody's listening to me like, how much does it cost?
Totally.
Let me know the price. If it's free, baby, you got to check it out. Paige Naylor, Rachel Austin doing Soundhouse June 6th. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be something brand new and nothing Charlottesville has ever seen. So thank you so much for putting it on. And we hope to have y'all back at some point.
Thanks
in the future.
Yeah,
all
right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. All right. All right. Let's just get into it. Also, here are just some of the artistic events happening this week. Last chance to see The Liar at Live Arts Theater this Sunday, which is today. This Sunday. Redundancy. Currently running June 30th. An Exaltation of Lux. Ha ha. Oh, actual, like, birds. I thought you meant, like, Lux. Like, Tim Curry. A painting of birds from various artists at Chroma Projects. Currently running, now through June 30th, Trio, new paintings, drawings, and works on paper by Abby Kasanik at New City Arts. Sorry if I mispronounced your name. I think it's Kasanik. Sonic. Experience that you're about to see on June 6th. Currently running September 9th, The Gun Gunny, Old Techniques Remain Strong, an exhibition of paintings on a eucalyptus bark from the West Daly region of Northern Australia. The Kluge Roo Aboriginal Art Collection. Currently running through January 27th, Reflections, Native Arts Across Generations, an exhibition of the work of several contemporary Native American artists at UVA's Fralin Arts Museum. Fralin Art Museum. I don't know why I put S's on that. Always. Tonight, Improv 101 with Bet Theater at Guerrilla Theater. June 6th, Jefferson Madison Regional Children's Librarian, Glynis Welt from the Gordon Avenue branch returns to UVA's Fralin Art Museum for Pictures and Pages, where she uses movement, songs, and even puppets to connect kids to art. June 7th, Second Street Gallery hosts Brews with a View, featuring Small Town Rodeo and Wild Common to benefit the Front Porch Roots Music School. Brews with a View. That's what I like to see. Sounds like Nelson County, doesn't it? Brews with a View. Like all of Nelson County. Boom! Bang! June 9th! Just when you thought it was gone, instructor Neil Perry leads Revisiting the Sonnet at Charlottesville Writer House. Also June 9th, the Jefferson Madison Regional Library kicks off the summer with its annual summer reading kickoff hullabaloo! Yeah! Reach your booty off, baby! And a block party with snacks, juggling, face painting, and of course, your summer reading challenge. What is a summer reading challenge?
It's a challenge. Would you read this during the summer?
I mean, is it like speed reading? I mean, what is it?
It's a whole reading obstacle course. I think they're going with American Gladiator.
I'm just watching the thing like this.
You have to go up the ramp, read The Wasteland, go swing across while you're reading bits of Riza Aslan's work. It's a whole thing.
And once you outjoust Turbo in the deathmatch, then you will become the reading hullabaloo champion.
It's the Ta-Nehisi Coates peg wall that really gets me every time. I just can't.
Between these walls and me. The house of Bell Drag Show at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall.
Want me to do music? I'll do music options.
And for your music options this week, today, get your bluegrass on with Tara Mills, she's awesome, and Jeremy Stelling at the Batesville Market at 1 p.m. Also today, ever-changing twang jazz group, the Staple Shakers at Star Hill Brewery, and Tap House at 3:30. So get your Tara Mills on, and then you go down to Star Hill. It's an afternoon. You will be hammered by 5. Today, the Crozet Community Orchestra plays works of Beethoven and Strauss? At the Crozet Baptist Church. Today, the Charlottesville Women's Choir performs a concert of songs about peace, justice, and equality at The Haven at 4:30 p.m. Tonight, wow, today is jam-packed. Right, singer-guitarist John Kelly host an open mic at the Front Porch Roots Music School. June 5th, the Charlottesville Municipal Band opens up its 96th summer season, Jesus Christ, with a free concert under the stars at Claudius Crozet Park in Crozet. Claudius Crozet?
Claudius Crozet.
That's who's it named after?
Straight up, Claudius Crozet.
Nice.
I hear a biopic coming up.
Better than Jefferson Beauregard, Crozet. Eh?
One man could defend a county. From wine hunters. No, I'm sorry. Bob Huntington, and then Travis Elliott, June 5th at Fellini's. June 6th, Swing Seaville offers a month-long series of intermediate-level lessons. First to Charleston at the Front Porch Roots Music School. There's a lot of front porches today. I mean, I'm not used to that. Also, June 6th, Maddie Metcalf at Fellini's. June 7th, holy crap, Scott Ward at Tavern on the James. Face Made for Radio at the Whiskey Jar. 502 Fossils at Dirty Nelly. Nick and Steve Pollock at Fellini's. That's all on June 7th. All on June 8th is Live at 5, the Music Resource Center, where MRC kids show their work. Longtime Charlottesville band, Indecision, plays Friday after 5. The Jason Burke Trio and the Freightliners play full... Yeah, that's our dude right there. Plays Full Nelson Fridays at Blue Mountain Brewery, still June 8th. Adar and Feel Free at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. Cherry Red at Dirty Nelly's. And DJ Frank Rivera at Rapture. You gotta choose. I don't know what to tell you. June 9th! Jam-packed. Terry Allard Trio at Jefferson Vineyards. Rivanna Wind, Dixieland Band, and the Case Saxophone Quartet present a municipal band ensemble concert in historic downtown Scottsville. I think all of Scottsville is historic, actually.
I think that works, yeah.
It is the land that time forgot. We love you, Scottsville, but, you know, Get a 7-Eleven or something, like, you know. Let's
No.
You know, ever heard of McDonald's? Let's pick it up. June 9th, Alex Caton at Albemarle Ciderworks, Eric Friesen at Fellini's, the Pollocks at the Batesville Market, Will Thomas Reed at the Ix Art Park, Neil Goodlow at Dirty Nelly's, and the Tyler Dick Band at the Whiskey Jar is all on June 9th. Good Lord, Charlottesville. Y'all are working me to death. Every Monday, Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Woo! Every Monday, Seafood. Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music. Weekly Open Jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Also on Monday, every Monday, Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar. Yeah. Songwriter Night at the Local. What? But every Tuesday, Traditional Irish Session at the Ten Whistle Irish Pub. And Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at the Bebadero. You know what it is? Wacky Wednesday. Oh my God. Here we go. Every Wacky Wednesday. Open Mic Night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. Bam! Open Mic Night at Holly Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo. Bam! Jazz Collective at Fellini's Number 9. Bam! DJ and Friends at the Bebadero. Bam! Bachata Fusion at the Exot Park. Bam! Stone Rolling at the Shabin Pub in Gray.
Rolling.
And the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Jecker Quartet at Miller's. Woo-hoo. Also every Thursday, Lou at the Bebadero. And John Dearth Quintet at Miller's. Because every Thursday, you just gotta come down to Dearth. Thank you. Gotta pay some bills. We'll be right back. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Chris Allen. You're listening to Homegrown. This is 94.7.
Oh my God, 39 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stay tuned! After the show, I got it. I'm getting there. It's only been 2 years, but I think I'm getting it for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. He has representatives from the Virginia Autism Institute talking about their work with people with autism. Thank you so much for the work that you do. All right, moving forward, we have Chandler Farabee. Farabee. I meant B, but it came out P because I'm an awful person. I can't pronounce stuff right. It's Chandler Farabee. She's the director of the Virginia Hill Outreach Program.
Vinegar.
I said vinegar.
You said Virginia.
Oh my God. Is it becoming that way? Am I just getting to the point where I'm saying completely different words?
It's word salad, baby. It's word salad.
Oh my God. I'm losing my mind. Vinegar Hill Outreach. At the Lighthouse Studio, currently running through June 26th. Chandler, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm well. I'm well. Chandler and I are actually good friends. She's seen almost every improv show that I've been from like what years? Like 2007 to 2011
probably. Yeah.
Moving forward.
Yeah.
But yeah, always cool to like see you in a crowd and like see you represent and support Bend Theater. So thank you so much. But you've been directing this Vinegar Hill Outreach program since January?
Since January, yeah.
All right. What's that like? What does that consist of?
It's really fun. Right now, our main focus is the Vinegar Hill 76 film series that I've been putting on. It's the theater originally opened February 14th of 1976. So every Tuesday to celebrate that excellent year in film, we show a film from that year every Tuesday at 7.
Cool. Mm-hmm. What's the film that you're doing?
This Tuesday?
Yeah.
Harlan County, USA.
Cool.
It's a documentary about a 13-month coal mining strike in Harlan County, Kentucky.
Well...
Yeah, it's excellent.
So what?
So can I just do the rundown of the film? I was saying to Chandler before the show started. So sorry to be coming on this ride so late in the game. This is all the stuff that we've missed. The Man Who Fell to Earth, which is a rough film. That is just, that's a hard film to watch.
It's very arty.
But it's also like, it moves you. I remember a buddy of mine, we found it, we were looking for like just some escapist science fiction. We found it in a back when there were video stores. We just found it sitting in a rack. Like, it's not, it was even a rack. It was like at the bottom. It was underneath a rack at a video store, like disused. We got it like David Bowie science fiction. Why not? We watched it. It blew our minds.
Yeah.
It just warped us. Mm-hmm. It hurt us in a very deep way.
Yeah, that's a really sad movie.
It is. It's so The Man Who Fell to Earth, Carrie, Network, King Kong, what was her name?
Jessica Lange.
Yeah, the Jessica Lange King Kong. Rocky, A Star Is Born with Chris Christopherson and Barbara Streisand. All the President's Men. Yes. The Outlaw Josie Wales. And Lipstick. That's what we've missed so far. That's a heck of a year for movies.
It is. It's a really impressive year.
What do you think has happened to movies like now? Why don't we have this anymore? I think we do, like in flashes and in attempts, like, you know, like The Post, Spotlight, things of this nature. I'm especially thinking of like movies like Network and All the President's Men, where, you know, they shine light on political issues which are relevant to like now. But like there is a problem in Hollywood.
Yeah, I think with the rise of franchise films, movies for adults that are mid-budget don't really get greenlit anymore. You really have to go to like small-budget independent cinema to find those kinds of stories, because the superhero movies cost so much, and
they
make so much. They're kind of supporting the movie they support, so that those smaller movies can be made. But we're not getting, like you said, Network or All the President's Men,
right?
Jaws, even anymore,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, or original ideas that are like building on that, or allegories for like certain like sets and ideas. I don't think people are like stretching the panorama anymore. I mean, it's getting crazy. What do you? I'm blanking out. The coffee's worn off. What made you decide to all of a sudden? All right. So what you say, this is outreach. So how does this outreach toward the community? What does it do for the community? How does it help Vinegar Hill especially?
So after every film, we have a speaker from the community talk, and we discuss themes of the film, how they relate to today. Roger Ebert said that film is a machine of empathy, and I think that film is a really great tool to bring the community together and start conversations.
And you find these speakers, and you know, you seek them out. And so who's the speaker that's going to be speaking after Harlan County, USA?
Some documentary filmmakers, Paul Wagner and Laurie Shinseki.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And on the subject of what? Like how?
I think they're going to talk about documentary film, and especially documentary films at the time weren't very popular, well seen, and that one kind of broke through to the mainstream in a really interesting way.
And that's interesting because now I think documentaries are more popular than ever.
Yeah,
wouldn't you say? Because
go ahead.
I think if you look at documentaries, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think really if you look at documentaries in terms of how they sit in the public eye, there's pre-Ken Burns Civil War and post-Ken Burns Civil War. And I think Ken Burns Civil War, that's the thing that does it. Because it was so popular. Mm-hmm. It was just so big. It was this cultural moment where everybody was talking about, whoa, what did Ken Burns Civil War? And then after that, I think it was the rising tide that raised a lot of documentary boats, right?
Yeah. And I think streaming's helped a lot. People are way more willing to try out a documentary now than they might have been before when they had to go to a theater to see it.
And I noticed all of the interesting like documentary like vignettes and stuff like AJ Plus and Upworthy and streaming networks like that. They put on these like Goldcast. They do these like, which I cry at every time I see it. There was one on Terry Crews today where he was talking about the development of Safe Horizon, and I swear to God, I wept like a baby like right before I got out of the car to come see you guys. But Goldcast, watch it every time. It works. Yeah, what do you attribute to, like, because, and, you know, for the record, I guess you would consider yourself a millennial?
Yeah, I'm a millennial.
And so, millennials get the bad rap of how streaming has, like, ruined, you know, content and generation, so.
Yeah, so I think it's a double-edged sword. Like, before I moved to Charlottesville, I lived in a really small town where we didn't get independent movies at all, and it would have been really nice to have more access to independent film. And then at the other hand, I think a lot of movies are meant to be seen on the big screen. So I think there's a balance. I think it goes both ways. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. We got to do a drop, and I promise I'll be better and I won't blank out next time. So we're going to pay some bills. I'll be back with Chandler Farabee. This is Homegrown. Drop.
This is filmmaker Lorenzo Dickerson, and you're listening to The Homegrown Show, the show about local art on WPVC 94.7.
49 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. He's talking to representatives from the Virginia Autism Institute, talking about their work with autistic people. So thank you so much for the work that you do. Stay tuned. It's going to be an important show. Chandler Farabee is with me. She's the director of the Vinegar Hill Outreach Program, talking about independent movies, talking about the love of such. You said you didn't grow up with a lot of independent films, and you kind of...
You know, it was harder for me to find. I watched a lot of DVD and that kind of thing, but I didn't really get that theater experience.
Right on. Mm-hmm. So when you found that, what was that to you? Because, I mean, it just looks like film is really important to you.
Very important. I remember exactly. We got Slumdog Millionaire at our theater like months after it had been out, and it was a very big deal for me to go see that.
And it's a really big movie.
It was a really big movie. It's a great movie.
Danny Boyle, right?
Yeah,
he does great stuff.
So Sunshine, a lot of films released in 76. Why these films?
I like these. We tried to have a good mix of genre and social issues that we could touch on.
Is that why you've got Car Wash coming up?
Car Wash is a really cool film.
Hey, sometimes you need to take a break. Sometimes everything can't be so heavy. Well, sometimes you're just
unfortunately, it is the 70s, and it's hard to find diverse films. A Car Wash has an African-American director, too, which was important for me to have in the lineup. And Meredith Clark is speaking after that. She was one of The Roots' 100 most influential African Americans in 2015, and she teaches at UVA. And I'm excited to talk to her about it.
Dope. I also check out Melvin Van Peebles and his stuff pre 1976, but it's really cool. But you have after Car Wash, you have this small, lesser known film called Taxi Driver. That should be interesting with Carmenina Higginbotham. She's awesome.
She's great.
Yeah. So talk about that.
I'm so excited to see that on the big screen. Mm-hmm. And there's so much to talk about with that film. And Scorsese calls it his feminist film, which is one of the reasons. Which is one of the reasons I'm really excited to talk to Carmine to hang about
feminism.
Yeah, and unload that statement.
Yeah, we're gonna unpack that a little bit. What do you mean exactly by that? And just as small a film as was the next. Movie is going to be by a small band known as Led Zeppelin. The song Remains the Same with Jack Hamilton. I'm not familiar with Jack Hamilton.
He is Slate's pop critic.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so... How did you get Slate's pop critic?
He teaches
because
at UVA.
They got Slate's political consultant, Jamel Bowie. She got pull. She knows what she's doing. Chandler Farabee. She's awesome.
Tell you people.
All right. So, these three films sound amazing. What's up next for what you're working on next after this wraps up? Are you doing Vinegar Hill 77? What's going on after
I think
that?
we want to branch off into more films about race and equity going forward. So I'm excited. And
Vinegar Hill is an excellent place to do that.
It absolutely is. I think we have a responsibility to do that given the location
and the history
of that area. And, I'd like to show some more recent movies and more documentaries.
Is there anything like off the top of your head that you could think of that you would be interested in like showing at a film?
I really want to show Moonlight.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of people still didn't see it, and that was the best movie going experience of my whole life.
It has the most phenomenal cinematography I've ever seen in an entire film. Like it is. Every frame of it is beautiful. I mean, granted, it takes place in Miami, but it's just absolutely gorgeous, and it's an amazing film. If you haven't seen it yet, it's beautiful. It's so beautiful, so touching. 13th.
I'd love to show the 13th. There's this documentary coming out called Generation Wealth that I really want to show about luxury in America.
You know, in terms of films. About racial inequality, but in terms of looking at racial inequality in American films, there's a film that keeps coming up for me, and I perversely, I kind of want to see somebody show it and talk about it, is D.W. Griffith's Birth of a Nation, because that just, it is such a seminal piece in terms of American culture and in terms of how movies went after that, in terms of what it says about us, that this was our first feature film, what it says about so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, it's a very important piece of filmmaking, given its subject matter is less than ideal. And it contributed so much to, I think it's a great example of how films can contribute to American culture in good and bad ways, because it helped the KKK rise up again.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, regardless of what you think about it, it is an quote unquote important film in the terms of like the culture and like the actual, like the machinery and the making of it.
Absolutely.
2 minutes. All right. Yeah, this is going to be great. This is going to be amazing. This is the part where I sing to get rid of frame.
After the song remains the same,
Rachel, did you do some experimental sounds on David? Is that what happened?
Because we're both in private. You came in to save me. That's so amazing. She was like, he's dying. He's dying. Somebody's going to jump in.
Sorry, after the song remains the same.
After the song remains the same, we're having our closing night party, and there will be karaoke in
party!
The theater. And Thomas Dean is going to be screen printing Led Zeppelin designs.
Oh, dope.
Yeah.
Dope. That's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. You know why I'm holding my tongue? I just want to talk about Vinegar Hill. I just want to talk about Vinegar Hill the entire time. And I'm just like, black people, more black people, more black people, come out to Vinegar Hill. Like, pack it to the brim. Because we used to have black people there all the time. And I just, I just want black folks to just like take up the space. Take up Boylan Heights too while you're at it. Just have a burger or two or three and just sit there and just camp out and don't pay. Just sit there. I don't care. But I just really respect and appreciate how you're trying to shed light on important issues right now in race and equity, especially in Vinegar Hill, especially. Yeah, especially knowing the space that it incorporates and Lighthouse being, respectful of that.
That's really important to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sorry I'm so bad at my interview with you. But I promise I'll be better the next time you come on and we talk about the next project that you have coming up.
It was rough. You were holding that in for the whole interview, weren't you?
I just gotta do better. Like you say, Rachel, it's improv. You just gotta speak it out. Chandler, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so much for having
me. You're awesome. You're awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, we wrapping it up. Cool. All right, thanking our guests, Paige Naylor, Rachel Austin, Chandler Farabee. Next up, Rick Moore, talking about Virginia Autism, talking about the people that are helping people with autistic conditions get through life. So thank you so much. Stay tuned. This is Homegrown. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace. Yeah, David laid it down. This has been Homegrown. Our opening music, of course, is from Spit It Out, Inc. Our event music's by Positive Collective. Any complaints about Homegrown should be directed to our attorneys at the fine firm of Tochterman, Overman, Munson & Burke, Legal Services Like a Song, and our sexual gratification last night was from your mama.
Hey!
Coming up next... It's the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. His guests today are representatives from the Virginia Autism Institute talking about their work with the autistic. If you miss it, then we'll have to diss you. Thanks a lot. This has been Homegrown. We'll catch you next week.
You might not ever get rich, but let me tell you, it's better than digging a ditch. There ain't no telling who you might be. A movie star, or maybe even a Indian chief.
Working at the car wash. Working at the car wash, yeah.
Come on and sing it with me.
Car wash.
Sing it with the feeling down.
Car wash, yeah.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.